We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm trying to give love here to everything that's going on in Kansas City, including the 2024 Division I Wrestling Championships that are taking place starting today down at T-Mobile Center. And Mizzou is involved with several wrestlers. I believe they have 10 wrestlers that will be participating, including two-time national champion Keegan O'Toole at 165. And session one begins at 11 a.m., session two, 6 p.m. I just retweeted the information on Mizzou competing down there. And so if you are a fan of wrestling, if you're a fan of great sporting events, then try to find a way down there to T-Mobile Center for the NCAA Division I Wrestling Championships that will take place today, tomorrow, and Saturday. I think I'm going to see what I could do about going on Saturday. So I can actually see. I mean, that would count, right? It's individual, but Keegan O'Toole, if he wins his third national championship, I'd like to see Mizzou win a national championship before my eventual death.
So. I mean, there you go. You got a chance. Could happen.
Yeah, watch. Sold out. Can't go. Whatever. We'll figure it out. Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Stars in studio. Hello, Jesse. How are you?
How's it going, guys?
Oh, it's going great. Nate's fighting with other Kansas fans. Being told to revoke.
We're making up. We just made up on Twitter.
It's too late. Revoke his fan card. All these. A lot of Kansas fans are angry about Kevin McCullough, right? It's not me saying that. You're the one that pointed that out to
me. A lot of people on X that seem to be, taking shots.
At, you have any thoughts on Kansas and the NCAA tournament? Or
I do have thoughts.
And then what do you got? Give us something.
So I agree with Nate on, like, the whole swag thing, but I don't buy that they're just done. I don't buy it. I think they're winning today easy.
And then
it's like, listen, we can talk ourselves all we want to about what college basketball is. The last few times KU's been eliminated, they just ran to a team that hit a ton of threes. KU doesn't make many threes, but like in 40 minutes they could. Or the other team could miss a bunch of them. So, I don't know. Like, it's probably about, even without McCullough, it's probably about 40-60 they make the Sweet 16. I'm just not ruling them out. I am not doom and gloom with Kansas. I think they easily could be Sweet 16.
In your face.
Oh, I think that's true. They could be. I picked them to lose in the second round.
Okay. See, I'll take them to Sweet 16.
But how good do you feel about them going to the Sweet 16? You said 60-40.
I just think that it gets a little overblown. I remember doing a story when Embiid was out for KU. I mean, again, it seems like every year that KU has somebody that can't play for the NCAA tournament. And I called a Vegas odds maker and I said, hey, how many points is this going to cost Kansas to have Embiid out of this game? You know, 4 points, 5 points, 6 points. He's like, maybe one, maybe. You know, and I go, and I know they lost that game. And again, part of that is the mental side of this. Like, how do you feel without a player? Do you feel the same confidence? Do you feel the building turn against you and Samford might be pulling an upset? All those sorts of things. But if KU can get out of their own heads, like, what is McCullough worth? We saw on the line, everybody was sort of freaking out about that news. I know he's, whatever, a second-team All-American, but the line didn't move. I mean, it moved like a half a point, 1 point maybe. I mean,
Jesse, I love you, but you're using Joel Embiid as an example in the game that they lost to Stanford as a 1-8 or whatever, right?
It's true. Boy. It's true.
That doesn't make me feel better.
Well, I think KU's not deep, obviously. We all know that. But McCullough's a good player. I just don't think it's a huge – it doesn't turn them from a favorite against Samford into an underdog. It doesn't turn them into everybody's national pick to lose. I just – I think they're winning today, and I think they're covering, and I don't think it's going to be close.
I don't think it turns them into an underdog today, but I do think it is a massive loss. Like that team, when the Jayhawks looked good this year, McCullough was playing at a level similar, and now I'm freaking blanking out on the kid last year that carried the team.
Don't help him, dude. No, I'm not. We don't do that. Come
God
on.
Dang it. My brain has got...
This is the way we exercise Nate's brain every day. Come on. Jesse and I both believe in you so much.
The problem is when
you
I get a name stuck in my
know.
Head, then
Talk
I can't get off of that name, and I know the name that I have stuck in my head is wrong.
Talk it through.
It's really stupid.
Talk it out.
It's
come
a
on.
Kid from Fort Worth, Texas. Okay. That
from
was,
Fort Worth, Texas.
That was so good last
big,
year.
Big, tall guy with curly hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could shoot. Yeah. Was really good at getting to the free throw line, scoring
like
points. Carried the team.
Christian Brown's, Christian Brown's best friend.
Yeah.
What else? Tell me more about him.
I don't.
What's he look like? Huh?
Light-skinned, you know.
What's the shoe size?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to waste a lot of time here while I'm trying to work my way through this because I just the name is not.
Drake, do you believe he will eventually land on the name or does Jesse need to tell him? Before 10 o'clock.
I think the buzzer sounded there.
Jesse Newell will tell him.
Jalen Wilson.
Damn it. Yep. God, that's terrible. But he, you know, last year he
such
was.
Such a difficult name,
he,
too.
So. He, I know. It's just a random name. For some reason, I had, I don't know. Anyways.
What were you thinking?
I had, Miles was stuck in my head for some reason. I'm like, I know that's not it.
You're right, it's not.
He was only with the team 3 years, so let's, you know, four years. Let's,
absolutely
let's
carried
a
the team last year.
Yeah.
Thank you, Blake McFarland, for texting me, but I wasn't looking at my phone. He could have helped me out there. But he carried the team last year, and he.
Next segment, Nate recalls more Kansas legends from the past.
I can tell you all about him, just can't get the name right. But Jalen Wilson last year took a step forward after Abaji and Brown and all those guys left to become the guy that carried the team. And for a while this year, it looked like Kevin McCullough was becoming that type of player. He looked like he had really improved his shooting ability because he had been an inconsistent shooter up until that point. And every time they needed somebody to go out there and make plays, he seemed to be the one guy that could go do that. Dickinson was consistent all year with his production, with rebounding and scoring. And as soon as that knee injury started becoming a thing, McCullough didn't look like that guy anymore, and the team started falling apart. Am I wrong about any of that? Like, they fell apart down the stretch this year.
I think McCullough was better. I think the ball sticks sometimes when he's in there. I think it sticks.
I mean, that might be true, but who, like you said, okay, well, they could go have a good day shooting the basketball.
They could.
They certainly could, but you're a gambling man yourself. Are the odds in favor of that happening?
Easy, Otani. We're trying not to. Come on.
I don't have $4.5 million to help
anybody
out here.
Who's a good shooter on the team?
For a 40-minute sample?
If you're going to describe all the players and couldn't remember their names, but you had to describe them, how many of them would you say, like, that guy, okay, this guy, he's a good shooter?
Murphy's a good shooter.
Right. Anybody else?
I mean, like when he's wide open, DeJuan's a good shooter, but he's too scared most of the time to shoot it.
He can hit an open shot. You and I both know very well there's a difference between being a good shooter.
Has he hit him in the tournament before?
And a guy that can hit an open shot.
Has he hit him in the tournament before?
Sure he has.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying,
including with that guy last year, that what was his name, the curly hair,
Jalen Wilson.
He's hit and played with him too.
With old Curly, he was really good.
But I'm just saying, like you don't like if your game plan going into this is like our recipe for success is DeJuan Harris going to hit a bunch of threes for us.
That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I'm saying
Timberlake can. We've seen him like maybe three or four times this year. He's had good shooting days, so maybe he does that in the tournament. But that to me, like hoping is not a strategy.
I mean, I guess my main point is this is a down year for Kansas. This is a bad roster for Kansas. This is not as good of a team for Kansas. They are not better without McCullough. They're still more than 7 points better than Samford. I'm sorry.
I'm like, fine with that. I got them
sorry.
Going
like
this
that's,
round.
That Kevin McCullough being gone does not turn them into a bunch of guys who can't dribble a basketball anymore. I mean, they
it
still
did turn them into a team that got beat by 20 against Texas Tech.
That was without Hunter Dickinson.
I mean, not even Texas Tech, Cincinnati.
C.J. Moore tweeted this out. Tell me this. What does this mean to you, Nate and Jesse? C.J. Moore tweeted yesterday, it's felt like Hunter Dickinson hasn't been as efficient without Kevin McCullough, so I ran the numbers. Small sample size, but Dickinson shoots 57.4% from the field in games McCullough plays, and 43.1% in games he misses. KU needs an efficient and productive Dickinson this week.
And he's playing banged up as well.
He is.
So I don't want to be doing – look, I talked myself into Kansas going to the Elite Eight when I thought both guys were going to play, so I'm not trying to be negative.
Listen, when Kansas wins by like 15 tonight, we're not going to talk back and say, hey, Jesse was the smartest guy in the world, but it's it's what's going to happen. I mean, it's just what's going to happen.
I've got them winning this round. I've got them winning this round, but I don't think
this team
is –
But then you have losing to McNeese.
Yeah. And
okay, so then they're moving on to potentially Gonzaga or McNeese, whatever, but like, okay, McNeese, same thing. Like, they're – you think they would lose to McNeese?
I mean, that's what –
come on. That's – come on.
Picks.
You picked them losing McNeese?
What's so crazy about that?
Okay, yeah, turn his fan card back in. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm on board. Let's get on X. Get it out of here.
What was that lady's name?
Get out of here. I'm with her. Yeah. Where's she at?
I love this. Jesse doesn't have time.
Upsets never happen in the NCAA tournament,
McNeese,
do they?
McNeese is going to be Kansas. Come on,
he's had it with you, man. Oh man, come – he came on. In here, guns blazing. I like this.
Come on,
the ball sticks with McCullough. You know
the old Will Wade versus Bill Self matchup you've been waiting for. By the way,
that's the matchup that
everybody
Kathy wants.
Kathy said you need to turn in your KU fan card after this. Yeah. Jesse Newell agrees.
Well, Jesse Newell's strategy is Kansas is going to magically turn into a three-point shooting team in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, what do I say about that?
How many games have you watched? It's just – how many times I sit in this chair and we just said, the Chiefs can't win because they're going to make that mistake. They can't win a Super Bowl. Like, and again, I didn't say that. But it's like, okay, they're going to make the mistake. They don't have the receivers to do it, blah, 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 blah. And then it just stopped. It didn't happen in the playoffs, right? Like things change. They've won – Sam looked up the stats, Sam McDowell on our staff, like 6-41 in their last two games from three. That does not mean they're going 6-41 in their next two games. I'm
Patrick
just saying
Mahomes,
the ball goes in.
Travis Kelce.
I'm not saying
Chris Jones, Andy Reid. The only thing that Bill Self has, and the only thing that Kansas has in common with that is the Bill Self
part. I was going to say, you're making my point for me. Give me the Samford coach. Who the heck is the Samford coach? And he's going to the tournament against Bill Self?
G. Samford is actually the coach.
I will take Bill Self as the coach.
Bill Self
as the
one
tournament
thing.
Coach. The one thing... I mean, other than them having still Hunter Dickinson, the number one player in the transfer portal.
I don't
portal,
know what he's going to be in these games.
Oh, my gosh.
He just dislocated his shoulder a couple weeks ago. You know, and you heard the numbers when he doesn't have McCullough out there.
You're disgusted by his behavior, aren't you?
I need it, like, I'm with Kathy t-shirt. Stickers.
This would be zero fun if I agreed with Jesse Newell on this stuff. We got to have a back and forth here.
They're winning by a lot tonight. And then... my God, if they play McNeese, they're making the Sweet 16. If they're playing Gonzaga, it's probably a coin flip. They're probably like a one-point underdog.
I hope you are.
That'd be a fun game,
right, though.
Gonzaga and Kansas. We got
it'd be a fun game. I mean,
that's a matchup of names versus like that. Neither team is nearly as good as their name brand.
Well, then maybe it'd be a good game.
So that would make for an interesting game.
And that's the other thing is like the KU didn't get Auburn as their if they got Auburn as their four. We wouldn't have this discussion.
That's the truth.
I'd be like, okay, they are done. Like this season's over. But like Gonzaga, I mean,
I think I'm just scarred by watching that game at the Big 12 tournament. And I know that Dickinson didn't play in that game, and maybe just having him back will completely change it. But they have not seemed like a team with any swagger or confidence this year. They couldn't win games on the road, even sometimes when they had both of those guys. And there just seems to be – I don't know what it is. This has not looked like a Bill Self team to me for the second half of the season. You know, and I believe in Bill Self. I think he'll get it fixed at KU. I don't think it's like, oh, it's doom and gloom going forward or anything like that. But, that's all.
All right, before we break, a couple of things I want to mention. Mark tweeted into me, and I'm thank you very much. I was talking about the wrestling championships down at T-Mobile that starts today. Don't forget about the Elam brothers, who both wrestle for Mizzou, will be in action. Rocky Elam and Zach Elam at 197 and 285, both from the Kansas City area, both from Staley High School, wrestling for Mizzou, competing in the Division I Wrestling Championships today. And so go root on some local kids, some local wrestlers. A great event down there for the Wrestling Championships. And also, I'm just going to throw this out there and then we'll break because I want to talk about this for a little while. I was very disappointed, even though I get it and I understand Brian Cook's coming back, the emergence of Shamari Connor. But I liked Mike Edwards a lot and what he brought to the team. And I don't think you can have enough defensive backs. I know they already brought back Deion Bush. But I was disappointed to see Mike Edwards go to the Bills. And then Adam Kaplan just tweeted out what the deal he signed. 1 year, $2.8 million with an upside to $4 million. I mean, we'll take a break. Let Jesse think about that, and we'll get his thoughts on Mike Edwards. And also, Legarius Sneed and what the hell is going on there. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Okay. So I mentioned this. We could all agree Mike Edwards was a hell of an addition via free agency last year. Especially after Cook got hurt. He came into the reputation of being a ball hawk, and he showed that. And selfishly, Jesse Newell, when we're looking for people to talk to after games in the locker room, he's one of the guys that was mostly always available and was willing to talk. So we like that. But what about him? I was hoping they'd bring him back. They didn't. He goes to Buffalo, again, for a really reasonable deal. According to Adam Kaplan, who's a regular guest on our show during the football season, 1 year, $2.8 million with upside to $4 million, according to sources.
Yeah, so we were discussing this just kind of briefly. So last year, the Chiefs, I had this in my story today about Mike Edwards signing. We talked to Brett Veach, the general manager for the Chiefs at the Super Bowl, and he was kind of going through the free agency and how that all worked with Drew Tranquil, with Mike Edwards, with guys like that who they picked up late, Charles Omenihu.
And great signings.
They sort of let that first wave go through, and then they kind of see who's left on the board. And his quote was, for Mike Edwards, he said, "Thought he was going to get $4 or $5 million on the open market. It wasn't there, and now all of a sudden, all these teams that needed a safety got a safety. Now he's looking for a fit as a third safety, and now we come back into play." So you sort of see the scenario last year with the Chiefs, which was, you know, they had Justin Reed, they had Brian Cook, who was a little bit of an unknown, and then they had, like, Deion Bush, who's been with the team a while, but, again, more of kind of a special teams player. And this guy falls back into the market for them. Instead of getting $4 or $5 million, he gets $3 million with the Chiefs. And he signs on as a third safety, and the deal isn't out there for him to be a starter, but it's for him to be a guy that can kind of be in and be a rotation player. So you can see where that makes sense for the Chiefs. I think the one big difference, and we don't know exactly his position solidified yet, but the biggest difference now to me is that the Chiefs have Shamari Connor.
Stud.
Yeah, and he came on last year, and he needs snaps. He needs reps. He needs to get in there. We've already talked about with Legarius Sneed, like, as of right now, he's with the Chiefs, and they have all these other corners they want to get in, the Jalen Watsons, the Joshua Williams, the Najee Johnsons of the world. Oh, and by the way, now you're talking about safety. Okay, Brian Cook's coming back. Justin Reed's coming back. How are you getting Shamari Connor in the rotation? That sort of thing. So I think that's it's a good problem to have, basically, is that the Chiefs deal from the depth that they have, and they try to build in the depth that they need for the next year. Last year they didn't have that, and they let a guy fall back to them. That was Mike Edwards. This year it doesn't make as much sense. And we talked last week about the punters and how the Chiefs, whenever they can, they're going to have to look for $2 or $3 million savings because they've got Mahomes on the contract, and they got Chris Jones, and they got a lot of other guys that are going to, you know, demand big dollars in the next few years. This is another one of those where it's like it's a luxury, but it's not a need. And so you move on, and you trust that Shamari Connor, young, up-and-coming Shamari Connor can step into that role, and you wish Mike Edwards well. And, again, that seems like a reasonable contract, kind of a second-wave sort of contract. But the Bills, when they release or have both their guys, their safeties go to free agency, there's more of that need for them to have a starting safety, and that's where Mike Edwards probably more fits in with them.
Okay, so before we get into Legarius Sneed, I want to hear your thoughts on Hollywood Brown, because we saw this wave of wide receivers sign for some deals that we more than we thought. It was just some really good contracts out there for wide receivers. I wanted Hollywood Brown, but then I was like, oh boy, if these guys are getting this, what's he going to get? And then they get him for the 1 year deal. And I'm looking now at the incentives. I'm always interested in this. $3 million to sign, $3.5 million base, which is guaranteed, $250,000 in per game roster bonuses, $250,000 workout bonus. And then here's the touchdown incentives, Nate Buchanan. See if you like this. He gets $500,000 if he gets 5 touchdowns. Okay. It goes up to $750,000 if he gets 6 touchdowns. If he gets 7 touchdowns, he gets $1 million. Playing time, goes from 500 grand if he plays 45% all the way up to 1.5 million if it's 75% playing time. And then yards. If he gets 500 receiving yards, that's 500 grand. That goes up to 625 for 625. That goes up to 750 for 750. If he tops 1,000 yards, $1.5 million. So let's all hope he gets the full $11 million. That means he ended up with at least 7 touchdowns and 1,000 receiving yards. How the hell did they get him for that, considering what other wide receivers were getting around the NFL?
It's a really good question. Guys, I think this three-peat thing is real.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I asked Hollywood in the Zoom call because he started talking. I said, you know, were the Chiefs your highest offer, or did you turn down some money to sign with the Chiefs? And he all but said that he turned down money to sign with the Chiefs. And it takes a certain person, a certain scenario, and it seems like Hollywood might have kind of fallen into that for the Chiefs, where he hasn't been in an offense that has been pass first. He hasn't been in an offense where he feels like he's been showcased. He hasn't been on a team, especially the last couple of years, that's been super successful, that's chasing down a Super Bowl trophy. And he hasn't had a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. So it all comes down to every individual person. Listen, I'm the one that always says, go get the most money you can. Your career is only so long, and if a team offers you more money, you are every right to take it. It seems like Hollywood had other intentions here, and potentially that this three-peat, to be part of something that nobody in NFL history has accomplished, it might just be a little extra, you know, cherry on top of this sort of thing. So I think I agree with Garrett from last hour. This might be the best free agent signing of the entire offseason when we look at dollars and based off of what they got him for and what production they might get, especially when you compare it to kind of the crazy wide receiver market. Good receivers do not make free agency. So to get this one on a one-year deal, still young, already working out with Patrick Mahomes, this could really work out well for the Chiefs.
Boing.
So I'm going to ask you the same question I've been asking people, and I haven't really heard an answer. But you're my stats guy. You're the guy that helps me interpret statistics. First of all, how would you describe Hollywood Brown as a wide receiver?
So we know him for his speed, but you know, the more that I've kind of been looking into him and hearing people talk about him, he talks about wanting to be good on all three levels. He's really good at in-breaking routes and intermediate ones, too. He does have some ability to break down field. Quarterbacks haven't always gotten it to him, unfortunately for him, when he does break open. Probably a better route runner than what MVS was. Not as much of a top-end burner, where if he gets going, he goes really fast. But I think probably the thing you're looking at with him that could be a struggle is just sort of contested catches. He's not a big dude. You know what I mean? Like he's not going to go through contact. Sometimes the Chiefs have had guys where Mahomes puts it on Juju and he just catches it because he's kind of just boxes the guy out, you know? And they don't do many contested catch things anyway, but Hollywood's kind of got to be open. You know what I mean? Like he's not going to just battle through somebody or get something. So that's a very interesting skill set, but it seems to me like for now at least, that's sort of the MVS role where he's running defense off a lot of times. He gets open, can track it. And then some in-breaking routes, too, to kind of in the intermediate part of the field break open, too.
Okay, so that maybe explains the answer to the question then, because the first thing that everybody I hear say about him is he's a deep threat.
Yeah.
They need somebody who can take the top off the defense. His yards per catch for his career is 11.6. The best year he ever had was 13.3. That's not usually the type of numbers you see from a deep threat. So is he a deep threat or do you expect that number to go up? Does it need to go up? Is he still a deep threat even if his yards per catch isn't that big?
Yeah, I still think he is. They will utilize him in a different way. And I also it makes me wonder, you know, you see some of these highlights of him where he gets open but the ball doesn't come his way. You know, Kyler can throw a deep ball. But, like, he's got to be out of the pocket, you know? Yeah. It's just a different deal.
Mahomes is going to throw it deep to him if he is open, he's going to hit him a lot more often than the other guys.
Yeah.
So is that what we expect?
I just think – so he's not only a deep threat.
Right. Clearly that's the case because he's put up yards.
Yes. He probably also – you know, we're talking about, like, a quick 40 time. And, you know, the thing about MVS is, like – MVS, it's so funny to me, like, walking in the Chiefs locker room, and you see MVS with a locker next to, like, Sky Moore. And these two dudes could not look more dissimilar and they play the same position. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, MBS has got, like, he's got, like, the abs. You know, he's, like, built like a sprinter, you know, real skinny legs, that sort of thing.
Lean and mean.
And then you got Sky Moore, you know, we affectionately nicknamed, you know, Thigh Moore, where it's, like, big thighs, shorter guy, you know, kind of built. But I mean,
it's, that was Nate's nickname back at KU. Five more.
Yeah, that's right.
But it is interesting that like these guys can succeed in different ways and have these different skill sets. I don't think Hollywood, like, once he gets cooking, he's not going to cook as fast as MVS could, because MVS was a sprinter. You know what I mean? MVS could clear out a defense, and so much of that he did for the Chiefs to kind of open things up underneath for Kelce. So maybe those lanes underneath aren't quite as open because, you know, he is not going to cook down the field as much as a sprint track star does. But I think his wiggle and his route running is better, so there are more opportunities to get him involved with the pass game, whereas MVS a lot of times was just sort of, for lack of a better term, he's a decoy. He's a guy that just sort of
Keeps the defense honest.
Keeps him honest. You know what I mean? He's a floor spacer, like in basketball. Yeah. You stick a dude in the corner who can shoot, so the defense can't play in the lane. Yeah. Like if you throw it to him in the corner, he's going to make the open three. Yeah. That's sort of what MVS functioned for the Chiefs offense. It seems like, again, Hollywood has a little bit more wiggle to his game, a little bit more nuance to his game. Maybe not the deadly three-point shooter in the corner, but you can do more with him on the field, and that's what you're expecting the Chiefs to potentially do.
Yeah, like in a weird way, I almost am encouraged by the fact that his yards per catch isn't aside. For reference, MVS's career yards per catch, 17 yards per catch, because he's not going to get it thrown to him as often. And when he does, it's usually down the field. It's a big play. MVS sounds like he can catch the ball on all three levels. Is that fair to say? Hollywood Brown. Not MVS so much.
I mean, I think the short stuff is probably to be seen. And again, Hollywood, to his credit, in his press conference said, hey, I have the short ability to be able to do this, and I've been able to show it as much yet. So that one's to be seen. I think intermediate, yes. I think deep, yes. And I think, again, some of these route nuances to be able to get yourself open, there's a little bit more to the game with Hollywood than potentially what they had with MVS. Not saying MVS was not important for the Chiefs, because obviously he served sort of as a professional mentor to Rashee Rice. You hear that from a lot of people talking to him. He's, you know, the word you kept hearing was professional. You know, he stayed professional through what he did and showed up. And I will always remember MVS for the play against the Raiders, where he was waving his arm wide open toward the end zone. Mahomes didn't see him. He didn't get the ball. Rashee Rice catches the ball underneath, and then MVS blocks his butt off.
That's exactly right.
And Rashee Rice scores that touch. I will always remember that play, because it's like sort of it encapsulated what he was. And I think you see other receivers on other teams, they don't get the ball, they don't like their role, they start pouting, things aren't going their way, and that just that the Chiefs didn't really have much of an MVS problem other than the drop, the really big drop, and those sorts of things. Like, he just continually stayed in the right head frame, and he also paid off for him in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he had his best performances in the postseason,
AFC
last
championship
year
game,
and this year.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think the Chiefs obviously have to hope with Hollywood getting that, and he won their like good guy award in Arizona for media. So I mean, it does seem like they're getting a good locker room presence as well.
All right, now divulge all your sources. Give us all your inside information about L'Jarius Sneed, please. Don't hold back.
Well, I mean, if I had all the inside sources, they'd be conflicting with each other if you kind of look from the last week. You know, I'll go back to this three-peat thing. I think L'Jarius has sort of figured he's in an envious spot, and I'm never going to tell people to turn down money, but this is the time for him to really secure a long-term deal. You know what I mean? This is the time to say, if I want $80 million to my name, this is the offseason to get it, or $60 million. But now that the Chiefs have locked themselves into $19 million for him from next year, it is interesting because it seems like a trade would have been made already if he could have come to terms with a new team. But it seems like he's wanting money that surpasses what these teams are comfortable giving up while also giving a draft pick. So, again, it ends up this interesting spot where if you're L'Jarius, I'm speaking for him here, but it seems like he's got two good options, right? Like,
there's not a bad choice for him.
If he just wanted $75 million, he'd be a Colt or a Viking right now, right? Like they would have signed with that deal and given the Chiefs some sort of draft compensation. But in the back of his mind, he's saying, nah, I'll shoot for the moon here. I want $22, $23 million a year. Or I'll just return to the Chiefs and go three-peat. And win, go 1 year with $19 million and feel like I'm going to be just as good and go get my money the next year. Or do what Chris Jones did and be so productive that the Chiefs decide to bring you back. So everything's about leverage. You know what I mean? And it feels to me like this is a point where Legarius and his agency feel like the leverage is on their side. And that they don't have to make a move, and that the Chiefs is a just fine fallback option to play 1 year, $19 million, and go chase that third ring, the third ring in a row, I should say. So that's sort of my take on it. I mean, I think if he wanted, if he just was out to get the long term contract, it seems like this deal should have been done by now. But the franchise tag with him and the potential draw of coming back to the Chiefs for one more year, and the Chiefs loving him and knowing what he is. It feels like that draw has made it so that he has decided that if he doesn't get exactly what he wants from another team, the Chiefs are not a horrible option to return to be able to go and do something no other NFL team has done.
Do you believe the reports that was it Destin Adams? Destin?
Yeah, that was right.
I guess Jalen Wilson's the name you're looking
yes,
for.
Yes, he said that the compensation was a third-round pick this year. And a pick next year, and that's at least what the parameters were for a trade. But then they got to the Snead and his agent negotiating with the Colts, and that's where it fell through. And then Matt Verderame reported that Snead turned down 4 years, $80 million from at least one team, and there had been a trade agreed to. We had a lot of discussion about what could the Chiefs get. Do you think third round pick this year and a conditional pick next year was? You think that's right?
So we've discussed this. To get to second-round value, you can do this in a lot of different ways. And the ways that teams most like to give up, other teams, not the Chiefs, but if you're trading with a team, is future value because people don't remember that value as much. If you look at sort of the analytics charts, if you will, Nate, they always tell you to trade for future year's picks because teams don't value those as much because it's just down the road. It's out of sight, out of mind. So third this year and a fifth next year actually would make a lot of sense from the Chiefs' standpoint. We've seen from SI's Albert Breer has talked a lot about them aiming for second-round compensation, but a third and a fifth next year is second-round compensation. And, again, that would make a lot of sense in terms of what the Chiefs could do to maximize their value and not hinder a team and then also still kind of get yourself to that same point. Hey, this 2.5 plus this 1 equals 3.5, however you want to get to that math equation. So I don't know, again, if that was – obviously the trade didn't happen – that sort of trade would make a lot of sense to me. I think the Chiefs aim second, but this is a complicated formula here because it's not just the Colts saying, we want to give this to the Chiefs and you get Snead. They want to lock him up. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they're not trading for him to get 1 year of
him. A lot of moving
parts. They're trading for him to sign him, and if he can't come to terms with them, then the trade makes no sense to begin with. So a lot of that kind of seems in the realm of possibility to me. And then again, you talk about the Verderame thing. Yeah, I mean, that's what we're talking about here. Like, if you're Legarius, that's what you're staring down here. You have $19 million guaranteed, and you can chase a third ring in a row, or you could just take 80. We could just take 80. And no matter what your knee does, no matter how injured you are, no matter what goes on, you've got that locked up. And so I can't answer that question for people, but I think it's becoming a more interesting one the longer he doesn't get traded. It seems like that's a real thought in his mind that either one of these options is okay.
You want to see someone get absolutely tickled or so happy? Watch Drake's face right now. I'm going to give something away. All you got to do is call 913-3810-810. If you love basketball and you'd like four GA tickets to go see the 2024 NAIA Men's Basketball National Championship Tournament, you can use these tickets for any of the days. It starts today and then runs through the national championship game on Tuesday. I'll hook you up. Caller number 8 at 913-3810-810. That's 913-810-810. Caller number 8 will get a four-pack of tickets to go see the 2024 NAIA Men's Basketball National Championship at Municipal Auditorium. If you want more information on how you can get tickets, go to NAIAHoops.com. You got to come out here and pick up the tickets. All right, this is not digital. This is real vouchers I'm going to give you. 913-3810-810, caller 8. You'll go see some NAIA basketball action. Back into this on WHP. Jesse Newell, could you please report your Final Four to us? Or
I think it's not that interesting.
Well, so what? It could be good.
I was trying to win the bracket contest with all this data and analytics, and
right.
You know the picks that go against the public and are the value picks. But I don't think it was too exciting. It was Houston, Tennessee, UConn, Arizona. So nothing too crazy.
Well, I've got Houston, Arizona, UConn. But I'm a moron, and I picked Purdue to finally break through, even though I don't want them to. I want Creighton to win.
I'm not mad about that. I mean, you've seen the stat here, and we're talking stats. 100% of one seeds who lost to 16 seeds the previous year have won the national championship.
There you have it.
Every time.
Every single time.
Right. So if I could pick who I'd want to win, I'd like to see Iowa State go. Fans, they deserve. I mean, if there's ever been a fan base that supports you, I know that it would infuriate Nate, but that's probably another reason why I wanted to have him.
A real Cinderella story, too. They were not ranked in the preseason AP poll.
Right.
So for them to, I mean, that's a monumental.
And he took over. He took over a team that was 2-22 and 0-18, and then immediately went to the Sweet 16. And now they got a. I mean, they got a real shot, but that just the East is so tough.
He's a heck of a coach, and
damn
never
right
never misses arm day either.
Right. You know, very very Nate. Likes it because very tight polos and
yep.
tight slacks.
Yes. Yeah,
to show you exactly.
He works for that body. Might as well
exactly
show it
right.
off.
That's right. I would like to see Iowa State make it. I would like to see Creighton make it in the South. You know, I would like to see Kelvin Sampson win a national championship. I mean, he's Kelvin Sampson's a stud. Then in the West. I don't like North Carolina at all. I want something wild to happen in the West, so I'll just sit back and.
It's the NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
it could. It very right. well could.
Go Grand Canyon, New Mexico, with the upsets.
Okay.
Go wild.
Oh boy, yeah. This is at least a perfect trivia.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Canyon's leading scorer, Nate.
All time?
No, this year.
Is he a former Jayhawk?
He is.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
we've only got 5 minutes yeah. here for
yeah.
you.
So, if you would have listened to House of Hustle,
right.
Jared Sutton pumped him up. But you don't want to hear that. Mm-hmm. You don't want the help that I give you for
I
your bracket.
I don't want to hear that.
Steven, if you know this and Nate doesn't, this would be amazing.
Well, I do just because
I did
it was
pick
put in my head.
This is
awesome.
To beat St. Mary's,
this is awesome. You're going to name the Jayhawk before Nate. This
well,
is
I'm
great.
Not naming them. We're going to get no.
Well, I, you're just going to. I don't know.
Tell
so.
Him.
Tyon Grant Foster.
Yeah.
He was a Jayhawk.
Nancy.
What did he do? Nancy. What did
you're you're going to lose your damn card again.
What did he do at Kansas?
Well, can a kid not just go somewhere else and be successful?
Good for him. Yeah, no, that's
not like you think it's good for
then
him.
Then they found a serious heart condition with him, and
yeah.
he came back from that. But, I mean, do you want to poo-poo on that, too?
Easy to root for.
Yeah.
Good
want,
for him.
Do you want to poo-poo on that, Nate?
Battled adversity, even though he didn't make you happy. He's making other people happy, including his family.
Unbelievable.
Jesse, thank you for setting him straight, man. I appreciate
hey.
You.
Thanks, guys.
It's March Madness all day long. Don't forget, go to 810WHB.com and get in our damn bracket contest on Sports Radio 810WHB.